flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome into hour number two. Got lots of fishing reports coming. Also going to tell you about how you can win a $12,500 reward for being one of the anonymous tipsters leading to the arrest for a bad boy. We'll tell you what that person did and if you have information, how to collect on that reward. Also got a guy that, he didn't like these late turkey season openings like I did. So he just went ahead hunting and killed three turkeys before this season opened, and he'll be paying a hefty fine for that. We'll tell you his story. Also, Ryan Lambert, the plastic man, will be joining us with a fishing report from down the river. And we'll also get our paddler's report, too. But let me get back to the text message board. Let's see. This one says, we left off with the backstroke. Okay, the frog lawyer. He's getting ready to launch in Leeville for the Bayou Coast Trout Challenge. Yeah, that one's happening today, and good thing it's not tomorrow. We'll get a report from our paddler, Eric Mahabarak, who'll kind of update us on what he's hearing. And we got the steel man checking in from Madisonville. Says, I attempted to bass fish near where the Abita River feeds the Bogafalia in the Chifunk the last weekend for the first time. Yeah, that area is known as Three Rivers. And he didn't have any luck. Used a Texas rig creature bait on the bottom and a cross spinner bait closer to the top. Beautiful area and day on the water, though. Happy hunting. That area, believe it or not, gives up a lot of, we call them Kentucky bass. It's also known as, some people call them the smallmouth. It's different than the largemouth bass. And those Kentuckys hang out in there. And I've had my best luck on a spinnerbait. And, you know, just working it, among the treetops there. And it's a good place. And like you say, very, very picturesque. All right, so we got that going on. Also got a text in. Oh, my grandnephew, Drew, he's turkey hunting this morning up in Mississippi. And Dennis Bro, who is a manufacturer's rep for a lot of products, including Grundon's, he says, we got Drew up here with us this morning in Mississippi and going to let that TSS fly. So good luck to Drew. And we got a special announcement to tell you about Drew, but I think I'm going to wait until he comes on the air and let him tell you. Or maybe there'll be a press release out before that. But anyway, some really good news about my grandnephew and hunting buddy, Drew Dubuque. All right, let's see what else we got coming up. Oh, yeah, we got this one. Someone named Doug says he would like me to ask Mike Gallo if he's seeing any submergent grass in the Wrigley's Chef area. He fished there last week, and it was like fishing in a mud flat. Fishing was poor. I tell you what, Doug, one time that Lake Catherine was so full of grass, you'd swear you were in a freshwater area, and it held a lot of ducks and a lot of fish, and at times it can be good. We will do that. We'll check with Mike in just a couple of minutes. And I'm also going to talk to him about the Ides of March, which, if you remember, the soothsayer, it's telling Caesar, beware the Ides of March. Well, the Ides of March used to, and I don't know if it still does, as a special meaning to fishermen in the Lake Pontchartrain area. We'll check in with Mike about that. Talk to Eric about the Trout Challenge and other places to take your kayak, Bad Boys, and Ryan Lambert, the Plastic Man, and more of your text messages, questions, comments, your reports. Mix them in with our field reporters at 504-260-1870. We're back with our Born on the Bayou, Captain Mike Gallo of Angling Adventures of Louisiana, next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report with Captain Mike Gallo of Angling Adventures of Louisiana is a presentation of CETO. You know them. A lot of people call them, you know, the organization that just comes out there whenever you need them, wherever you need them. They tow you free, your boat, if you rented it, if you borrowed it, whatever. Fuel delivery, if you need that. Jump start for electrical problems. Anywhere to get you safe and sound, from back to your home dock to a repair facility. It's like having a AAA policy on the water. And you can get one signed up by calling Captain Chris at 504-301-4545, CETO.com. And doing these special show times, they normally extend you, give you like 14 months for the price of 12. Captain Mike Gallo may know something about that. Do you, Mike?
Yes, sir. The 14 months for the price of 12 is still ongoing during the boat show season.
Very good. Mike, I got a couple questions for you. One from the audience. They want to know about seeing any submergent grass in the Chef Wrigley's area. He said he was felt like he was fishing in a mud flat.
Well, last year's low Mississippi River had higher salinities than normal, and that killed off a big, huge portion of our submerged aquatic vegetation. Usually it takes about 4 parts per thousand salinity, and that grass starts to die out. So I would think this year, as we get more daylight, you know, longer photo periods, I would certainly think that grass is going to start to slowly come back. I have not seen much of it myself.
Yeah, that's so important. The other thing, Mike, the Ides of March, do you recall that being a time, the 15th of March, supposedly, you know, when they warned Caesar and didn't turn out too good for him with his buddies? But I remember fishing with Dudley, and we always look forward to the 15th of March because that was when the big trout sometimes would show up along the bridges, the trestles and the I-10 twin span over there near Slidell. Is that still talked about, or do people look forward to catching big fish there, or is that another thing that's gone the way of so many things we've lost in coastal Louisiana?
Well, I don't hear it spoken about much anymore. I can tell you that I made several trips to the bridges this past week, and it's typical. It's March, that's for sure, because one day we catch them really good, you know, maybe move two or three times before you found them, and then it would be a steady pace. I wouldn't say it was fast fishing, but every 5 minutes you'd catch a keeper. Mm-hmm. So just kind of squat, and we'd end up with 30 or 40 trout. The next day, you go to the same spot, and you're working hard to catch 15 or 20. Of course, you give up on that spot after an hour and bounce all over the place. So it's March, and they're certainly moving around. We did catch one trout that was approaching 20 inches, was right at 20 inches, a little over 3 pounds. So, you know, maybe Ides of March, if you consider a 3-pound trout to be a big one, then maybe that's still in act.
That's the big one these days. Mike, I'm looking at the Lake Pontchartrain temperature. It's around 68 degrees. How does that change lure presentation, if at all?
I tell you what I look at, Don, I would, and I got a little bit more insight because I was looking at some of the stomach content of some of the fish that I cleaned. And the main two things that I saw in the stomachs were rain minnows or baitchovies and pogies. And both of those, they have different profiles. One's a long, skinny profile, and the other one's sort of long and has a taller profile. So your lure selection should fit one of those two profiles, especially if you see rain minnows or pogies in the area that you're fishing. You certainly want to match the hatch. And I would think a moderate presentation. The fish were definitely on the bottom. I didn't catch anything as I was just reeling. You know, I would throw my jig out, let it sink 3 seconds and reel it back, maybe throw it back, let it sink 5 seconds and then reel it back and try different heights in the water column. They were definitely on the bottom where we were fishing. Overshells certainly helped where we were. But when I do catch one, I want to see, does that fish come to the surface and shake his head? Or is he just kind of cold and stay below the surface and more lethargic? And they were up on the surface and shaking their heads. So that tells me they're fairly aggressive. You could try different lure presentations until you figure out what works for you.
You know, Mike, it's amazing. And I think a lot of people leave fish thinking they're not there or they're not biting simply because they don't explore enough combinations of technique. And what I mean by that, you know what happens. Sometimes those fish are hanging tight behind those poles. Sometimes they're in front of the poles. Sometimes they might be 20 yards in front or behind the poles. And you just got to work it and give it every angle you can think of and every method you can on each pole as you're moving down until you find the right combination. And when you do, then you just stick with that, and that's when how you fill up a box with fish.
Right. Well, that's the fun part of Lake Pontchartrain, sort of cracking the code for that particular day as to what they want. And that's one of the reasons why I look at the stomach contents. If it'll give me an idea of what they're already feeding on, then I can make my lure for the next day's trip close to what I've seen in their stomachs.
What's been the hot bait? You know, the Deadly Dudley's work, and, of course, the Chaz's bait, too, What's his again?
Matrix shad.
Yeah. What combination color and bait has been working the best?
I've been using mainly light colors. I've been using the Berkeley Gulp, mm-hmm. and I like white or a blue moonish type of color. I'm trying to mimic the white the rain minnows, which are long and slender. They're almost translucent. Kind of have a white stripe down their side. Or I'm trying to mimic a pogie, which kind of has a white belly and more of a grayish top. And they have a taller profile. I've been mainly fishing with those two. I'll start out with my 3-inch lure. And if I'm getting strikes but I'm not hooking the fish, I'll actually have a pair of scissors on the boat, and I'll cut that lure down to 2 inches or 2.5 and sort of change my profile just a little bit. Of course, I'm fishing it on a drop shot. I like fishing it on that inline drop shot. Works really well for me.
All right. Sounds good. Michael, thank you so much for the report. Hopefully people will take it to heart and help them catch some fish. If in the meantime they want to get in the boat with you and even get a closer look at what you're doing and how you fish, I know we call you the forensic fisherman sometimes. They can reach you on my website. We got a nice link to yours. Tell them how to go there direct and what that phone number is if they want to give you a call.
You can find me, like you said, on DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com or the reliable telephone 985-781-7811.
All right. Dial that number up and talk to Captain Mike, and we'll talk to you again next week. Mike, thanks for that report.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right, there he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, our Born on the Bayou guy. All right, you like to paddle for your fish? A lot of guys are out today for the Bayou Coast Trout Challenge. Might be a little breezy down in Leeville. We'll talk to Captain Eric Mahabarak, get a report on what he's been seeing right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our paddler's report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, presented by Massey's, 3 locations. You'll find them in Covington, in Baton Rouge, in Mid-City, New Orleans. Not just best kayak models either, like Hobies and Native Watercraft. They've got lots of accessories, and you can see all their products and check out demo days at Massey, M-A-S-S-E-Y, outfitters.com. Also got a really great Facebook page. And Captain Eric Mahabarak joins us now for the Paddler's Report. Eric, what's going on at Massey's? Anything new?
Good morning, Don. How are you this morning?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, cool. They got a demo day going on at the Deutsch's House at 1700 Moss Street today, and that's where you go out, and it's free. You can try any of the kayaks they have. If you have a specific one you'd like to try, you call the store, and they'll get it out there to you, and you can try it, and, that's free. And just go see John. He'll be running it on the bayou day. It's real simple.
And that's a good time to get out there because you might want to do some pre-fishing for that City Park Rodeo for the boats on the bayou is going to be held there.
Yeah, well, you'd have to rent a kayak for that from them or buy one and use your own. This is just to try it out now, which is a good day to try out them Hobies with the wind and stuff. You'd really see the difference between the kayaks.
Good point.
But speaking of that, Don, they got the boats on the bayou and the Big Bass Rodeo coming up. Massey's is a big sponsor of that. They're throwing up a $500 gift card for first place. And, that's $35 to enter for the boats on the bayou and $20 for the land-based people. Well, there's not that I know of. There's a tournament that you can't join for that price. And win a good hefty prize like that.
Speaking of tournaments, Trout Challenge going on today down in Leeville. What are fishermen going to be dealing with? Looks like they could be facing some pretty stiff winds down there.
Yeah, as usual, you know, they put the tournaments on the worst days. That's the tournament director's fault. We always blame him. But the Trout Challenge, you know, I think that's five trout. I'm not sure the number. Brendan's going to fill you in on more of that next week. But it's all artificial, and you're allowed to fish off the Highway 1 corridor. And the guys have been doing it long enough that they're pretty much safe. And I'm sure a few of the new ones will team up together and make sure everybody's all right and wear them PFDs, because that's a requirement of the club to fish the tournaments, is to have a life vest on.
Yeah. What else have you been hearing as far as places for people to get out and do a little bit of red fishing maybe?
You said it earlier, down the west side of the river, they still pumping them out down there. Down Port Sulphur, Burris, Empire, Myrtle Grove, they've been doing really good down there. Spoons, spinnerblades, stuff like that. Of course, you popping cork with a dead shrimp on it, and gulp always works really well, too. So that's some suggestions I would have with that. Something else that's going on, Don, they've been catching the catfish still out by Bonneville, in between Bonneville and West End. Got a good report from a kayaker of trolling the Highway 11 bridge and the train bridge with rattle traps. And, he didn't catch his limit, but he caught about 13 fish, which is that's a pretty good day. He was pulling a green chrome rattle trap in a. He did really well. He stopped. He said he missed
out. And our paddler's report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, presented by Massey's, three locations. You'll find them in Covington, in Baton Rouge, in Mid-City New Orleans. Not just best kayak models either, like Hobies and Native Watercraft. They've got lots of accessories, and you can see all their products and check out demo days at Massey, M-A-S-S-E-Y, outfitters.com. Also got a really great Facebook page. And Captain Eric Mohabarak joins us now for the Paddler's Report. Eric, what's going on at Massey's? Anything new?
Good morning, Don. How are you this morning?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, cool. They got a demo day going on at the Deutsch's House at 1700 Marsh Street today, and that's where you go out, and it's free. You can try any of the kayaks they have. If you have a specific one you'd like to try, you call the store and they'll get it out there to you, and you can try it, and that's free. And just go see John; he'll be running it on the bayou day. It's real simple.
And that's a good time to get out there, because you might want to do some pre-fishing for that City Park Rodeo for the boats on the bayou is going to be held there.
Yeah, well, you'd have to rent a kayak for that from them, or buy one and use your own. This is just to try it out now, which is a good, today'd be a good day to try out them Hobies with the wind and stuff. You'd really see the difference between the kayaks.
Good point.
But speaking of that, Don, they got the boats on the bayou and the Big Bass Rodeo coming up. Massey's is a big sponsor of that. They're throwing up a $500 gift card for first place. And, that's $35 to enter for the boats on the bayou and $20 for the land-based people. Well, there's not that I know of. There's a tournament that you can't join for that price and win a good hefty prize like that.
Speaking of tournaments, Trout Challenge going on today down in Leeville. What are fishermen going to be dealing with? Looks like they could be facing some pretty stiff winds down there.
Yeah, as usual, they put the tournaments on the worst days. That's the tournament director's fault. We always blame him. But the Trout Challenge, I think that's five trout. I'm not sure the number. Brendan's going to fill you in on more of that next week. But it's all artificial, and you're allowed to fish off the Highway 1 corridor. The guys have been doing it long enough that they're pretty much safe. And I'm sure a few of the new ones will team up together and make sure everybody's all right and wear them PFDs, because that's a requirement of the club to fish the tournaments, is to have a life vest on.
Yeah. What else have you been hearing as far as places for people to get out and do a little bit of red fishing maybe?
You said it earlier, down the west side of the river, they still pumping them out down there. Down Port Sulphur, Burris, Empire, Myrtle Grove, they've been doing really good down there. Spoons, spinnerblades, stuff like that. Of course, you popping cork with a dead shrimp on it, and gulp always works really well, too. So that's some suggestions I would have with that. You know, something else that's going on down. We got they've been catching the catfish still out by Bonneville, in between Bonneville and West End. Got a good report from a kayaker of trolling the Highway 11 bridge and the train bridge with rattle traps. And you know, he didn't catch his limit, but he caught about 13 fish, which is that's a pretty good day. You know, he was pulling a green chrome rattle trap and he did really well. He stopped. He said he'd most probably caught his limit if he wouldn't have stopped. He stopped and jigged some pylons and ended up catching a few more freshwater catfish and some flounder out there. So the bridges are doing real hot. And something else that's got to be really, you got to remember, always try to get that, as you well know now, get that bait to the bottom, right by them posts. That's why you use a 3/8 ounce jig head. Sometimes you have to use heavier because of the current.
Yeah, that trolling is a very effective method, even for kayakers. And you just got to get the right speed to pull that bait just the right height off the bottom. And that can be a lot of fun when it hooks up. You can actually use multiple rods when you're doing that, too.
Yeah, well, in the kayak, I suggest using one rod because it's just too much going on, you know, because you got the wind, the current, and you fight the fish, and then you blow it into the bridge or something like that. You know, of course, your Mirage Drive kayaks are better. Suited for the trolling aspect than the paddling, but you can do it in both with a paddle kayak or a Hobie or something like that.
Got it. Well, Eric, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and try before they buy and get out and learn how to fish and maneuver in a kayak, you can teach them the basics all the way up to the finer points. Tell them how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, well, Don, you know, you can get in touch with me on the Don Dubuque Outdoors Guy website, or you can just give me a call, 504-313-8292. Text me usually works better. Or you can just hit me through Messenger on Facebook, the Louisiana Kayak Company, or Instagram.
All right, now tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day. Don't get too crazy now.
Well, no, Don. For the first time in my life, I was going to march. They actually canceled the parade till October 7th, so I'm safe. I'm not going to die on Metairie Road tomorrow.
I think that's wise choice with that forecast we're looking at. Thanks for the report, Eric, and we'll catch up with you next time, my friend. Be good.
All right, Don. You have a great day. All right, bye-bye.
Eric Mohabarak. You can check him out, Louisiana Kayak Company. All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about that $12,500 reward. You could cash in on it. Yeah, it's for real. We'll tell you about it and an alleged bad boy of the outdoors next, right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, the Wildlife and Fisheries and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are looking for leads on an endangered whooping crane case. The bird was killed in January of 2024 in Evangeline Parish, and they're offering a $12,500 reward for information on that shooting. And it brought to mind, those of you may remember, we had a case of a convicted felon who killed a crane, a whooping crane, back in 2020, made our bad boy list. He was convicted. He had a juvenile with him. They actually killed two of them in Acadia Parish. They shot him with 22 rifles, and they took one of the birds to the juvie's house. And that was a big mistake because it had a transponder on it that records the bird's movements on its legs. They realized that. They cut off the legs and dumped them with the body in another field to try to throw investigators off their trail. But they were tracked down, and Kenan Constantin was sentenced to 5 years probation. He's still serving it for killing and transporting a federally protected endangered whooping crane. During his probation, he was given 360 hours of community service related to wildlife conservation. And as part of his sentence, his hunting privileges were suspended until he completes that community service. And U.S. Magistrate Patrick Hanna, who I commend, he ordered Constantin to pay $10,000 fine and, get this number, $75,000 in civil restitution to the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Endangered whooping cranes are no joke. There's a lot invested in them and very valuable. And that's why they're offering this $12,500 reward for anyone with information about that case. It was killed on January 9th, this past January. It was found in an agricultural pond on the south side of Bessie Lane in Mamou. And if you have any information about who is responsible for that, you can remain anonymous. There's a special number you can call for Wildlife and Fisheries or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. If you want their numbers, you can text me now, and I'll send them to you, and you can remain anonymous when you make that call. Or I'll just, you know, announce it if you don't want to give away who you are, but believe me, you'll remain protected. They do not give away your name. And you can earn $12,500. All right, right after this quick 10-second pause, I'm going to tell you about today's bad boy of the outdoors, an alleged turkey killer who believes in hunting turkeys often and early. His story's next, right after we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on February 24th, way before the Louisiana turkey season starts, which is April 6th, all or some of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents Sergeant Jesse Davis, Corporal Cole Cupid, Sergeant Eric Little, and Sergeant Josh DiBenedetto received a tip just like the ones that initiate so many of our bad boy stories about Ryan Lucas and Keith Dozat trespassing and hunting turkeys during close season on private property near Sykes in Wynn Parish. When they arrived, the agents saw the two men actively hunting for turkey while trespassing. As they say in sports, upon further review, the agents obtained evidence that Lucas illegally killed three turkeys on March 4th, 5th, and 11th in 2023 when the season didn't open until April 1st in Wynn and Rapides Parishes. He also killed another turkey out of season on March 16th in 2022 in Rapides Parish when the season then opened on April 2nd. I guess that's what you call an alleged repeat offender. One of the three turkeys that Lucas killed out of season in 2023 was from the same private property he was caught trespassing in Wynn Parish last month. I guess you could say Mr. Lucas's turkey hunting philosophy might be hunt often and hunt early, because the best hunting is before everyone else gets out there. Well, it might be a good theory, but not in reality. You see, for the taking of the turkeys out of season, over the season limit of two tag gobblers, and criminal trespassing, looking at fines of $1,950 and 120 days in jail, plus another whopping $6,157 in civil restitution to replace the turkey values, is 38-year-old Ryan Lucas of Marksville, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Boy, them birds is expensive. Turkeys and, boy, the whooping cranes, they got a really good price tag on them. All right, coming back after this, Ryan Lambert, our plastic man, joins us. Time to get serious about fishing down the river. He'll do it with us right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's see where the man has been putting his plastic lately. Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures, joins us. Ryan, how's the fishing DTR?
They might have to take that right there and take it off the radio. Thank God they got a delay on this thing. I'm sitting in the palm trees, brother. I'm in the palm trees.
That's
down the road. I've been down here since the last time I talked to you.
Wow.
It's been so good. I think I got 26 people again today. So, I mean, we're really busy, and it's just been good. I mean, the fishing is off the chain. Every boat limited out every day. I mean, those boys are good. Lots of redfish, sheepheads. I've been fishing trout. I've been catching some thumpers, boy. I've been having fun.
Thumpers? Oh, man.
Yeah. Nice. And I tell you, I just love to fight them big nice trout. Golly. Yeah. You know, they don't have to be giant, but when you get them to where you dump them on that boat when they come in, that's all I need, man. That just makes me happy.
What size classifies as a thumper? Just strictly by the sound when they hit the boat?
Normally from 16 on up, you know.
Yeah. Kind of depends on their weight, though. You know, you got fat ones and skinny ones, you know.
These fish are so healthy right now. They 2 or 3 inches across. It looked like they're just pretty fish. So I've been fishing them and catching them. You know, yesterday I was out there and I was throwing a net head, which is very light, with a slim swim, which is very small. And I catching them. And the wind started blowing, so I was going to take and put a quarter ounce on and throw it a little further. Never got a bite. Hmm. Same bait, different head, no bites. I went back to the net head first cast. Boom. I said, this is crazy. You know, they just wanted something nice and light that floated up when you twitched it real slow, and that's been the key. You know, it's been really good for that. So, twice, 2 or 3 times this week, I went out there and just had my way with them, so it's been good. But the boys with the redfish, oh my gosh. It might be a little different today. That wind's blowing out the north, and that's where they've been fishing on that side. So I don't know. We'll see.
The good thing is knowing that they're there. Do you think all this controversy and discussion about what we should do with redfish, do you think that's all for nothing?
Well, it's overkill because they're not using the fact of what happened to do it. I mean, we lost 2 years of spawn, so you know, 19 to 20. So when 21 fish came along and they got to 16 inches, that's all anybody had because there weren't any trout around at that time. So everybody pounded them and pounded them and pounded them. Then the next year we had them, but we still pounded those same fish until the 21s got to 16 inches. So that 21 class just got smashed for 2 years. And now we got 21, 22, and now we got 23 class. But the 23 class won't be big enough until right about now they ought to start getting 16 inches.
Well, so, they'll have to be 18 if this new NOI passes.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Then in May or June, then they'll be 18 inches. But we still lost 19, 20, and 21 got beat to death. They're not hardly any there anymore because that's all they had. So we're going to have to wait 2 more years before we have a full recruitment of juveniles in the marsh for us to catch.
Yeah. So, well, you know, fish regulations are kind of like grocery store prices. Once they go up and it's established, it's hard to come back down again. And hopefully the wildlife and fisheries in a couple of years can do a stock assessment. And whether what the regulations they put in or Mother Nature takes care of it itself, the redfish come back. They go back to some more liberal regulations on them.
Well, they probably won't. It'll probably stay at 4, which isn't going to kill anybody. You know, four is a lot. You know, you can't keep the guide limit. So we went from 20 fish to 12 fish on our boats. I don't think it's going to hurt the business any, but, you know, it's a lot of fish, you know. So we just deal with it. It's not going to kill us.
Yeah,
you know, the trout thing doesn't seem to be hurt. In fact, I like the trout deal. You know, it's 25 fish a man with 4 people in the boat. You got 200 fillets. No way they're eating it all. It's going to go home, go in the freezer and freezer burn, you know?
Right, exactly, so exactly.
I had no problem with that. Redfish, people tend to eat those like quicker, you know, if you're just 5, but I can't control it, so I just go with it, buddy, you know? But do it on the facts. You know, everybody, when people start getting where they can't catch fish, you know, fly fishermen don't normally look for a small fish like that. So when they can't catch them, oh, my God, the fish are gone. The fish are gone. Well, yeah, they're gone, but not because we overfished them.
Makes sense.
The blue-winged teal are coming back through right now. Miss Carmen's ducks came through. It wasn't even a full moon, and all of a sudden she woke up. She got 150 ducks outside the window calling her name. She go out there and get attacked with the corn, but they came early. I mean, right in the middle of the month with no full moon. That's just really weird. They migrated just in the middle of the month, so I don't know. Things are happening 2 weeks early this year.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I notice a lot of stuff blooming that's a little bit early, too. So that's maybe signs of a good early spring.
The river's at 5.4, and it's only going to come up to 6, a little better than 6 by the next month. So then it'll probably start dropping out. There's not a whole lot of snow, so we're going to have a low river this year again. It's going to be one heck of a springtime. And probably go all through the summer with bull reds. I mean, it's going to be a great year to fish.
Well, I know you guys are booking up heavy for the spring and summer.
Yeah.
I mean, so if somebody wants to get a trip in, they better get in touch with you soon. Tell them how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, because it's March, and I'm booked up in March. That's crazy. They can go to the website at CajunFishingAdventures.com, or as always, they can call me direct on my phone at 504-559-5111, and I answer it.
You know, always good to deal with reliable folks like you. You know, just yesterday I had a friend of mine told me, he said he thought he had a fishing trip booked with a guy in Venice and found out the guy hadn't been down there in 6 months. Nobody knows where he is,
oh,
where he went to.
Oh, my God.
You know, the industry has got some, you got to be careful. There's some bogus characters in your industry.
Sometimes, every time somebody loses a job, they think they're going to be a fishing guy. It's just not that easy.
Yeah, exactly, as we all know.
Well, I've been out at 46 years. When they book a trip, I'll be here when they get here, unless I'm dead.
Well, hopefully that won't be for a while. Thanks for the report, Captain Ryan. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, buddy, you as well.
All righty. Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we come back. Wow, where'd 2 hours go? It's just about gone. Well, we got one more segment left. I'll try to get to some of your text messages at 504-260-1870. We'll do it right after this timeout on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's get back to the text message board here. And let's see. The person that was asking about turkey hunting, they wanted it for Louisiana. Public areas in Louisiana, we have WMAs. I got to tell you, hunting on WMAs for turkeys is very difficult because there are some that require a lottery, which I think is a good idea because it limits the number of people. There's also some good national wildlife refuges that allow hunting, which would be Tensaw up in North Louisiana would be a good one. Also, some of the Sandy Hollow has a population of turkeys, but it's very heavily hunted. Out by Leesville in that area of the state, I would say probably you'd be better off in North Louisiana than you would in South Louisiana as far as finding a place where you would not have as much competition. But you can find the ones that, and this would be for next year, you could apply for a lottery on some of the better ones, and that limits the number of people that go. You'll find that in the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website if you want to find a spot to do some Louisiana turkey hunting. All right, also got this one. When does alligator season open? Myself and my brother-in-law want to try it. All right, you got to apply for tags, and you got to do this in advance. I'm not sure the exact day when you can start doing that, but the season, the state's divided into two areas, the east side and the west side. East, it opens the last Wednesday in August, and in the west, it opens in the first Wednesday of September. So it's about a week apart there for the opening in the east and the west, but it's a little bit complicated. You got to apply, and you have to maybe attend a class. There's a lot of tagging restrictions, a lot to alligator hunting, and I suggest, again, you go to the Wildlife and Fisheries section on alligator. There's probably 20 pages to read there on some of the restrictions and special regulations. All right, got this one. Leeville is launched. Good luck to all the fellow yakkers. They got the Trout Challenge going on down there today. And here's one from 400. It says, good morning, Don. Did the Wildlife and Fisheries address the trespassing charges on your bad boys this morning? I have persistent problems with trespassers on private property for duck hunting, and Wildlife and Fisheries say they do not enforce trespassing issues. Here's the deal. They did assess the trespassing in that case. They will address trespassing and cite people for it if it's in conjunction with another wildlife and fishery violation. In other words, if someone's hunting ducks out of season on your property, not only will they cite them for hunting out of season or unplugged gun or no license, they will also cite them for trespassing. But just because someone is legal and they're licensed and they're trespassing on your property, Wildlife and Fisheries does not have the manpower to enforce all of those. What you do is you contact your parish sheriff's office and you report the trespassing to them, and they will enforce it. But if there's a violation in conjunction with it, then Department of Wildlife and Fisheries will enforce the trespassing. This one says, this is from 3668. Don, we need to look into what areas of Louisiana has the most bad boys. Seems as some of the parishes are hot spots for outlaws. Well, there are some little hot spots here and there in the state, but it's widespread. We get them throughout the state. But areas that have the most variety, like Plaquemines Parish, for example, they've got so much down there. Freshwater fishing, waterfowl hunting, saltwater fishing of all types. That tends to be, and also commercial fishing, that tends to be the most violations in parishes like that. But it's pretty well spread out. That's from our friend The Worm. Let's see. We got that fragrance you were speaking of earlier is called Skin So Soft, SSS. No, the one I'm talking about. I know it's Skin So Soft, and I found that does nothing, but people say it does work on mosquitoes. It's Victoria's Secret sells a product called Amber Romance. It actually smells pretty good. You'll be smelling like a store model if you wear it. But I'll tell you what, it does keep the gnats off. It's the best thing I've found. And if you go to their website, you can order it. It's not cheap. And they never intended it to be an insecticide, but it's one of the benefits, unintended benefits of using it. All right, Big Mike, Pishon on Gatorfield Bayou Liberty. Yeah, I think they need to issue more tags because that's part of hunting those alligators too. You got to tag them and know how to tag them properly. It changes each year to designate, you know, that you killed the alligator and you harvested it and took the hide on the right time of year, depending on how you cut it. But, yeah, we've got more alligators than we need. It's a remarkable conservation comeback story. I remember a time when you pulled up on an alligator and they ducked and ran from you. Now they come up to your boat. They're everywhere, and that's all due to economics. The price of the hides and the meat is just not there. I think the future of alligator harvesting should be commercially for people out of state. And so many people want to be the next swamp person and kill an alligator. And they pay big money to do it, and I think it can benefit the state in a couple of ways, help the economy, and also help us with an overpopulation of gators. All right, there he is. That's Reed Allaman singing the only song I ever wrote in my life called Coco Dree. And we'll be back next week again right here, 5 to 7 a.m. We do it each and every Saturday morning. Hope you'll join us then. Have a great week. And come back to hear us on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.